Okay, good morning, good Erev Shabbos. We're back with the Maharal Shir here, Erev Shabbos Kodesh Parshas Shmini, Tavshim Pedalit. We are learning this week, the entire week, Le'ili Nishmas Hinda Bas Yitzchak. The week of learning was sponsored by Linda and Ari Bachman for the Yartzeit of Yvette Gardner. And today's Shir in particular is dedicated to the health and the safety of our friends in New York and New Jersey who experienced what they call an earthquake this morning. I think it registered, according to them, at a 4.8 or 5.5. That's what I've heard, which, just to give you a feel for what they're going through, it's the same as when I woke up this morning because my son was dribbling a basketball in the playroom. So we think about them, and if you want to, you know, commiserate with them, I think every time we have an earthquake, we should also share it with them, let them know how traumatic it was. The other reason that there might have been an earthquake, other than, you know, science, is that today's a big day in the Maharal Shir, because we're actually going to do, for our first time since we've started, if you look in the highlighted section, we're going to do a piece in Yiddish. So you're going to get to hear, if you hear me breaking my teeth or you're breaking your heads, you'll realize the source of the earthquake may have come from there, and that will shatter some worlds with reading in Yiddish. But I think this is a Gevaldika idea from Rav Huttner that I hope to get to within source number one. So if you look in the first pasuk that we have on the page, Parshas Shmini, the very first pasuk by Yehi Bayom HaShmini, it was on the eighth day, Karan Moshe L'Aaron L'Vanu L'Zikne Yisrael, and we know this was the coronation, inauguration of the Mishkan. This is a big day, that was by Yehi Bayom HaShmini. So on the words by Yehi Bayom HaShmini, we know Rashi brings a whole bunch of things. It's the day, it's the eighth of Maaseh Bereishis, it's the eighth, it's a wonderful, most important day, a huge day in history. So this idea of Bayom HaShmini apparently connotes something deeper and something more powerful, according to the Maharal. If you look in the first source of the Maharal, the Chidushi Agados, in Maseches Shabbos and Tzadiches, the Gemara and Tzadiches and Beis going over to Tzadiches and Maharal says an interesting line. You have it right before the Maharal here. V'nirin krosin blu laos kekaychavim berikia. If you look in the footnote, I translated into English for you. It basically means that when a person would be in the Mishkan and they would look, they would glance at the hooks that were made of nechosh, they were made of bronze, and those hooks were hooked into the loops, which were made of tcheles, a deep blue. So it appeared like the stars look in the sky. The glimmer and the flashing, the dancing of the brightness of the copper within the blue looked like the stars shining in the sky. A beautiful imagery. It's not a technicality. I mean, the Maharal never accepts that Gemaras are just a technicality. It's not just describing what it looked like. It must be saying something deeper. So the Maharal says, what's the idea of this imagery? That the Mishkan appeared to be like the stars in the sky. That the Mishkan appeared to us like the Maaseh Bereishis of Shamayim that a person was glancing up into. So read with me in the Maharal a little bit. Mishum. Shemaisa Mishkan Dichsiv. It says, when we finished creating the Mishkan, Vayihi Bayom HaShmini. It was on the eighth day. Havaya Bifnei Atzma. The word Vayihi means, and it was, but a lashon of havaya, of bringing into existence, that something started to exist, it began to exist, like Bereishis, Vayihi Bayom HaShmini, on the eighth day, havaya bifnei atma doma el havaya sa'olam. It was a creation, an existence that was brought into existence, equivalent to, the creation of the world, the beginning of the existence of the entire world. Vahavaya zos shel mishkan lemaila min havaya sa'olam. So this was a recreation. This was a new creation. The world was created in 7 days in Maaseh Bereishis, and now the Mishkan was created by Yehi Bayom HaShmini. But says the Maharal, it's not by Yehi Bayom HaRishon Sheni Shlishi until Shvi'i. It's Bayom HaShmini. Shmini always represents the day that's above Teva, sorry, the number that's above Teva. And in this instance in particular, Shmini Yom HaShmini is the eighth day, meaning there were 7 days of creation of this world and an eighth day, which was a creation, Limala Min HaTeva. Klal HaDavar says, the Maharal, is that the Maaseh Mishkan Havaya Bifnei Atma, it was its own creation, its own bringing into existence, Limala Mehavayas Maaseh Bereishis, even on a higher level than Maaseh Bereishis itself. And he says, that's the Pshat in our Gemara that compares it to the stars in the skies, the last line in the bold over here in the source sheet, Mizeh Masha Amru Kan, that's what it says here in the Gemara, Nirin Lu Lalus B'Mishkan Kekhechav B'Rakia, the hooks within the loops, they look like stars in the sky, Ratzalomar Ki Domim Maaseh Mishkan El Maaseh Shemayim Ba'aretz. Unbelievable. The Maharal says that the Gemara is trying trying to convey to us that when a person looked at the top of the Mishkan, they saw a creation of the world, like Maisa Bereishis of Shemayim Va'aretz, they saw the stars in the sky. Now, it specifically chose stars in the sky because this was Lemalim in Ateva. This was the Shemayim aspect of Bereishis. Bereishis was the creation of the physical world, and the Mishkan was something Lemalim in Ateva, Vayehi. It was a Vaya of Yom Hashmini, of something that was above and beyond the seven of Teva, above and beyond the Shivas Yimei Bereishis that we're familiar with. That's a beautiful concept that the Maharal is expressing to us over here. The truth is, Chazal have many instances. There's a Gemara in Megillah, there's other Midrashim, which compare the creation of the Mishkan to the creation of the world. We know so many sources talk about, the Ramban talks about this in Allah Torah, and the Nefesh HaChaim talks about this. Each part of the Mishkan corresponds to another part of the world. And that's all related to this Yesod, that Havayas HaMishkan was like a Havayas HaOlam anew. It was a new creation. But the Maharal is adding is that it was a creation of Olamos HaLyonim. It was a creation of things that are above and beyond us, things that are supernatural, miraculous, spiritual, ruchni, bringing them down into our world through the Mishkan. Vayihi, it was a Havaya, but of Yom Hashmini, of something lemala, of something above and beyond our nature, above and beyond our teva. Unbelievable of the Maharal. Now, just as something that's a corollary, I can't tell you, he's not basing it on the Maharal, but it certainly fits with the Maharal, and it certainly goes hand in hand with it, and just gives us such a deep insight, such a beautiful insight into the Mishkan, and then into things that we interact with every single day and every single week. If you look in the highlighted source over here, Rav Huttner, yeah, that's correct. Rav Huttner in Pachid Yitzchak on Shabbos has a beautiful, beautiful idea that relates to what we're talking about. So we're going to read together a little bit, as I referenced in the beginning. It is in Yiddish, which means that I'm going to expose myself to you in terms of how much I know Yiddish, which means you'll probably be impressed if you don't know that much Yiddish. But if you're over a certain age, you won't be that impressed. So we'll see how you take it. Hopefully, the people who listen online on double speed will think I'm reading really fast, and that will be impressive to them. Okay, so Chana in Shiras Chana expresses to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Ein Sur Kelokeinu. There is no rock like Hashem. The Gemara Darshan, the Medrash says that Ein Sur Kelokeinu means Ein Sire Kelokeinu. There's no such thing as a painter, as someone who creates art, an artist like Hashem. A regular artist sees a beautiful house and they paint a picture of the house. Hashem creates people who are not only pictures, but are actually living, breathing individuals with souls, with neshamas, so he actually makes living entities. That's beyond artistry that we're familiar with. Now, if you look with me in the highlight. V'azmir zolin zogin oif einim vashat b'shafin azach. When we talk about a person and we say that he created something, b'shafin azach, he created a thing, az er hat gemacht a bild von der zach. It means he created a picture of the thing. You can't create something. You can only draw a picture of it, a replica, but you can't actually make that thing. V'alt es zicher gewena haktana. Now, that creation of a picture of a thing is a diminishment of what it was. If you see a beautiful building outside and you draw a picture of it, it's a nice, it's reminiscent of the building, it's a nice image of the building, but it's less than the building. It's not only smaller in size, it's less in quality, because not the actual building itself. Unklape Maila is dach nishayich kenakdanas. It can't be that Hashem creates something that's a diminishment of what was the original thing. Now look in the highlights, the next highlights. This must be a character trait of HaKadosh Baruch Hu that we're learning over here. Vas ruft zich tzayir, that he's called an artist, a creator. Vas in the mida lik der soid von alla, English word, miniatures, which in, you know, we say in Aramaic, zer anpin, in der Welt. Meaning HaKadosh Baruch Hu's koach of creation is not simply that he paints something, but that he's able to create things in miniature. Which means if there's something which exists, he can recreate that thing on a smaller scale, but qualitatively, it's exactly the same thing. It's of the same quality. It's cut from the same cloth, just smaller, just in a different realm. But it's not like we draw a picture of something that doesn't capture it. Hashem captures that item and just makes it in miniature. The ganze bria, the entire creation, the klalius von Torah mit mitzvos, all of Torah and mitzvos, geht alts und dem sod von miniatures, all of it is based on this idea, the secret of miniatures. Now listen to this. By Mishkan Gefinin mir das lehed yemefurish b'dibrei Chacham. You find this explicitly when we talk about the Mishkan. In Atzei Shittim Omdim, when we talk about the Atzei Shittim Omdim, so Rav Huttner says, Atzei Shittim Omdim in the Mishkan are a reference, if you look in the end of this part of the highlight, ken zayin just a miniature fun srafim Omdim. It's just a miniature recreation, not replica, recreation of what's happening in Shemayim. In Shemayim, there are srafim Omdim. There are angels, fiery angels, that are standing, so to speak, in Shemayim. Hashem recreates that, not makes a picture of it. He recreates that in our world through the Atzei Shittim Omdim in our Mishkan. Or we know Hashem is in Shemayim, so to speak, right? He's occupying that space, so to speak. And he wants to come to our place, mitoch badei ha'aron, between the Badi Aaron, he speaks to us. Is Nishter Taich, the Pshat in that is not, as Das Vas is Tzvishin, Tzvishin means between, Badi Aaron is Epis Andrish, Vidas Vas is Bashamayim Vishmei Shamayim. It's not that there's a different thing that's happening down here than what's happening in Shamayim. No! It says Mamish Zizelba, it's the same thing, Nar in miniature. It's just a smaller version of the exact same thing. The Kol Hashem that exists in the upper worlds is brought to this world through the Mishkan. Not that Hashem paints a picture of it, but that He puts it into our world. The Olam Sal Yonim are created in our world. Vayihi ba Yom Hashmini, it's actually a Havaya. It's a creation of the Yom Hashmini, of those things, Lamala and Ateva, just in our world. Not a painting, not a replica, a copy, but actually that entity just in miniature. Now if you look at Oz Dalet to the left, he says there are two miniatures that we encounter in the story of Bereishis. This is amazing, that we reckon with every single day. We deal with this every single day, and it just changes your perspective entirely. The Mishkan you're already seeing is unbelievable. It's Lamala Men HaTeva in Teva. But it's not just this is a cute symbol to Lamala Men HaTeva. Hashem put the supernatural into our natural. It's unbelievable. But you and I don't have a Mishkan. We don't have a Mikdash to interact with. So we don't have this experience of miniature in our lives. But Cesar Putner, we do in Dalid. The Ershta Tzvei miniatures Vos Mir Gefinin in Chumash Behedya, a Mensh B'Tzel Melokim. He says there are two miniatures that we find initially in Maisa Bereishis. One is person. Man is a miniature. Tselem Elokim. He's not a replica. He's an Olam Katan. He's Hashem's a locus in miniature. There's a spark of divinity in every person. Each of us is encountering Elokus within ourselves. That's not a replica. It's not a painting. It is Hashem's Elokus, that divine spirit, in miniature. Tselem Elokim. And the next highlight, their tzveiter miniature from Chumash, the second one that you encounter in Chumash, is Shabbos. Vos yeder Shabbos is main olam haba. Every Shabbos is a shtick olam haba. Chazal tells Mizmor Shir Liyom HaShabbos, Liyom Shekula Shabbos. Every Shabbos is a piece of olam haba. So you and I hear that and we say, yeah, it's like olam haba. In olam haba, I get off from work, and here I get off from work. In olam haba, there's good shalom, here there's good shalom, right? We think like, oh, there's symbols, and it feels like a nice thing, just like olam haba feels like a nice thing. No. Thus is in ganzen der Zod von miniature, der ganzer hechitimsa, as says, da meglichkeit zu bashafen amein von olam haba. It's impossible for us to do, he says, but it's only a possibility by Hashem that a Kadosh Baruch Hu creates olam haba in our world. He creates Olam Haba in our world. On Friday, you have the miniature of a man. On Shabbos, you have the miniature of Olam Haba. When we go into Shabbos and we think about Me'ein Olam Haba, it's not that we're enjoying things the same way we're going to enjoy in Shabbos. No, we are encountering Olam Haba in this world. Do you hear that? It's a Havaya. It's a creation in miniature of what's going on in Shamayim in our world. We're actually able to interact with something from a different world, from a different realm, in miniature in our world. Not a painting, not a symbol, not a sign, but actually the Etzem HaDavar, the thing inherently exists in our world, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu has that ability, and only really HaKadosh Baruch Hu has that ability, Ein Sayer Kelokeinu, that only HaKadosh Baruch Hu has this ability, that He recreates the Yom HaShmini within the Yom HaShvi'i. The Havaya of Olam Haba, the Havaya of the Olam HaSal Yonin, it comes to the Mishkan, it comes to the person, and it comes every Shabbos, and we interact with that. That's the Yesod of Hutner draws from us. It's so beautiful when you put these two together. What the Maharal is telling us, it's also Maisa Bereishis. It's a creation within our world. It's a Havaya by Yom HaShmini. It's the eighth day coming down within the 7 days that our creation can actually hold, can be sovel, and therefore we can interact with the worlds above us that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is gifting us with in miniature in our experience. Unbelievable. I think it means possibility, I think. V'nikdash b'chvodi, the second the source on the sheet. So the psukim tell us that Aaron's children, Nadav and Avihu, are taken away, they're killed. And the Ribbono Shel Olam talks about it, Moshe Rabbeinu expresses, v'nikdash b'chvodi, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, this was already back in Sefer Shmos, right? That HaKadosh Baruch Hu says that my holiness, my sanctity, will be brought about bechvodi. Sorry, okay, you can't really touch it. That's the point. So we understand this to mean that bekrovai akadesh mechubadi, that meaning Hashem is mekadesh Himself, so to speak. He shows His sanctity. He displays His sanctity to the world by taking away tzaddikim, by killing a tzaddik, by punishing a tzaddik. He shows His kedusha. He shows His holiness in the world. There are other ways He could have done it. He could have told us about it, right? He could have planted it. He could have made the same way that AI now is able to plant things in our head, or all the vaccines are able to plant things in our... No, I'm joking. The same way that, you know, computers can now put ideas into our head, or this is... I promised before I went to yeshiva to learn full-time, but I think there may have been a a film about the planting ideas in people's heads and dreams. So there's ways to plant things in people's heads. So why didn't Hashem just make us aware of this? Why didn't he just tell us with words that he is the holiest, that he is the holiest of holies? And why do you have to kill people in order to do that? So the Maharal here is a big yesod in Tiferes Yisrael, the 18th parak. Ha'adam, asher hu bal chomer v'hu gashmi. Man, given that he is physical, he is a material being, he's not fully spiritual, he's gashmi. Tzorich levayer lo hadavar kufi mashu adam gashmi. You have to explain things to him on his level. He is a davar gashmi, so you have to explain things to him through material, through physicality. Kedesha yikna yadiyak fi asher roi l'adam. If you want him to fully grasp something, you have to give it over to him in a way that he actually relates to. So if you want to teach man something, you have to sort of show it to him. We know this in chinuch, right? You talk to when you give a shir to adults, you talk with certain language. When you give a shir to children, you talk in a different language, unless you're Rav Shechter. Rav Shechter talks to us all the same, but that's for a different reason. That's because he's so high up that we're all the same to him. Whether you're 40 years old, whether you're 30 years old in a shir, or whether you're the 5-year-olds that come to his parsha chabura after davening on Shabbos morning when he says, "Nu, what's the dinim in the haftarah that you learned this week?" And they're like, one of them's like sucking on his thumb, the other one's picking his nose. But Rav Shechter, okay, so we're all the same, we're all katanim, we're all tinokos to him, fine. But most of us, we change our language, we have to talk to people in different ways in order to get the message across. So Adam Bashiru Gashmi, a person is a physical entity, Hashem has to teach us lessons through physicality. Says the Maharal, that's why Hashem had to do all these nisim, these makos, these Esther makos, the killing of people, these supernatural events within our world to prove that he was Hashem when he took us out of Mitzrayim, because we had to, Kadesh Yivada Hadavar Bir'os Ha'ayin HaGashmi. It had to be that we witnessed what was happening, we witnessed the godliness of Hashem, the greatness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, with our eyes, Mitfleshika Eigen. Go back to the Yiddish. With our own fleshy eyes, with our own fleshy eyes, we have to see with our own material body, our physical being, that Kadosh Baruch Hu was the Osei Mofsos. Otherwise, we wouldn't be able to be understanding that. We wouldn't be able to take it in. We wouldn't be able to introspect about it. So Hashem teaches us the lessons in our language. Third to last line on the page. V'chein kedushas ha-mishkan. You want to understand the loftiness, the sanctity of the Mishkan? L'man sh'yedu ha-kol kedushaso. You want to know the kedusha, the holiness of the Mikdash. Amar v'nikdash b'chvodi. The only way for Hashem to really show that to us is to take away tzaddikim. To teach us, v'lohaya shalahem habayis. This house does not belong to you. Shehu yizbarach, next page, hashochim b'bayis hazeh. He's the one who rests his presence, so to speak, on this house. Nivdal mikol ha-nimtzaim. He's separate and distinct. He's completely separate from the entirety of the world. V'zeh kedushas habayis. That's what kedusha means. Kedusha always means distinct, separate, apart from everything else. Hashem shows us that even my tzaddikim, who you would say are closest to me, even the tzaddikim I can take away, even the tzaddikim I can remove from this world, that displays to us that we could see mitflesh ga'egin, that we could see with our own eyes in a physical realm what kedusha is all about. The kedusha that HaKadosh Baruch Hu represents, that the Mishkan represents, we can now see, we can now witness, and we can see it with our own experience, our own physical human experience, the message of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Ki adin asher oseh b'tzadik He says a beautiful pshat in Korach after this. We're not going to get into it just in the interest of time, but you'll see the line over there. And then if you keep reading in the Sefer, you'll see more. But basically, the reason that Kadosh Baruch Hu, so to speak, had to resort to the killing of tzaddikim to show us his kedusha is because, no, the only way we get the message is from our end. It's not his. He could teach it to us. He could show it to us. He could talk it into us. He could put it into our heads. But we're physical beings. We're human beings. We need to experience it. We need to see it. We need to witness it with our eyes. So he takes the tzaddikim to teach us that message of nifradus, of separateness, of what kedusha is all about. And with that, he teaches us the lesson through our physical channels in order that we should accept the message. A beautiful idea from the Maharal. Lastly, in source number 3 on page number 2, the psukim tell us that, again, that Aaron's children are taken from, they're killed. And we know the response of Aaron is Vayidom Aaron. That Aaron is silent. Vayidom Aaron. So the word Vayidom, you have it in different places. L'chad dumia sehila. It means to be silent. Okay, there are many pshatim in these words, maybe for another time. But Rashi here says a fascinating thing. It doesn't seem so fascinating, but when you think about it, the Maharal points out why it's interesting. Vayidom Aaron kibel schar shtikaso. He earned a reward for being quiet. Umaschar kibel, what reward did he earn? Shenesiach yimah dibor. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu spoke to him with a tzivoy coming up. So the Maharal here explains, V'kibel schar al shtekaso, this is in the Gur Aryeh, Oz Gimel, in the Hartman edition, in the next paragraph you have it. He received reward for his silence. Dim lokein, if that wasn't the case, that he didn't receive reward, Vayidom Aaron lamali. What the Pasuk didn't have to say Aaron was silent. What could it have done? not said anything, and then we know Aaron didn't respond. Why did the Torah go out of its way to say that he was silent? Unless the Torah is telegraphing to us that his silence was worth mentioning. His silence was something which received a reward afterwards. That's why it says, Vayidam Aaron, to show us that he got schar, he got reward for the shtika. So it was a silence which deserved a reward. Says the Maharal that nisyachid imo hadibor was mida keneged mida, measure for measure. He got what he deserved. What else? I don't know. Quid pro quo? I don't know. But he got, his just desserts. Okay, we're going to stay with that one. That's not my style. But he received what he deserved in kind, right? In kind, meaning he did X and he got the reward on the flip side of X as well. So he was hu shasak min adibor, v'nisyach nimo adibor. He was silent, he didn't speak, and therefore Hashem spoke with him. What's your question? Mida keneged mida means that if I do something, I get the exact thing back. So he was quiet and he got back speech. I understand. If he's quiet, he should get back silence. Hashem should give him the biggest silent treatment ever, and that would be the biggest reward. So what do you mean? What's the mida keneged mida, though? So says the Maharal, this is mida keneged mida. So what does this mean? So I'll say it to you in my words first, and I think we'll all relate to this, and then you'll see the Maharal sort of says this, really in his own words, in one or two other places as well. I think the pshat is that, and you have to think about it, that the Torah didn't say vayishtok aron, vayashket, that there was silence. It says dafka the lashon vayidom, which is a sort of a different type of silence, seemingly. There's no synonyms in the Hebrew language. What the Torah is stressing, apparently, is that the silence of Aaron in this situation spoke volumes. Meaning, sometimes a person is just quiet. They're not talking. But sometimes silence bespeaks something greater. In the face of the greatest tragedy, greatest personal tragedy, and honestly national tragedy that Aaron could have imagined, he was dead silent. He was rock solid. He was completely quiet. That is not silence. That's not the absence of speech. It speaks volumes. It's a very loud silence. It's something Simon and Garfunkel would be very proud of. It's the sounds of silence, correct? It was something which spoke volumes. When Aaron was quiet in this instance, he said to the Ribono Shel Olam, I'm completely with you. He said to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I am communing with you. If I was living in this world, if I was interacting on a human level, I'd be talking, I'd be crying, I'd be sitting shiva, I'd be doing all these things, but I'm not. Vayidom Aaron, he says, Nisyached Imcha. I'm with you, Hashem. I'm here together with you. I'm listening to you. I'm hearing you. I'm a Kabbal you. And there's nothing else that exists. Vayidom Aaron, the silence was a loud, booming silence. The same way that we experience, let's say, like a, saying good or bad. I'm just saying we do experience a moment of silence, like on Yom HaZikaron. It's the loudest moment when everyone stops their cars and stands in the street and thinks about the soldiers, Rahman al-Slan, who gave their lives over so many years, and citizens who gave their lives. So it's that silence speaks volumes. It's a loud silence. It's a booming silence. Something which we hear. We saying to the Ribono Shel Olam, says Aaron, I'm saying to you, I'm nisyached with you. I'm with you. I'm communing with you. I'm together with you. What's the mida keneged mida on that? Hashem says, I'm right here back with you. The Vayidom Aaron spoke volumes, and Hashem says, I'm going to give you a dibor back. I'm going to continue that relationship. I'm going to keep talking with you. I'm going to keep this unity, this communion going further on. If you look at the very bottom of the page, a beautiful line in the Maharal. The second last source on the page is the Derech Chaim in Perkei Avos, in Perek Gimel Mishnah Beis. Important to look at in terms of the Lashon of Vayidom, and he talks about our Pasuk in particular. We're just skipping it now, but if you look in the Siv HaShtika in the very beginning, says the Maharal in his Lashonos. This Nisiv HaShtika, Rabbi Hartman referenced in his footnotes. That's where I got it from. Ki mishu moneya hadibor shelo, morehu shehu yodeya das. Someone who doesn't talk shows just how smart they are. Someone who expresses is always talking, that means they're connected to this world, they have to give off all their opinions. That's not showing any level of chachma. Someone who's able to hold back, right? The Mishnah says, siag lechachma shtika. A display, not only a fence around guarding your chachma, but a display of wisdom is the fact that a person is quiet. Ki kasher mar bedvarim ha'ikar atzlo nefesh ha'medaberes. When a person talks, he's showing that the main thing by me is that I interact with people, I live in this world, I'm gashmi. Asher nefesh ha'medaberes yesh lo chibur v'tzirif ala chomer ve'eno nivdal lagamrei. It's not kedusha, it's not separateness, it's not living in a different plane, a different realm. If you talk a lot, you're interacting with this world. Aval kasher moneya ha'dibor. When a person refrains from talking, when a person holds back their speech, then Sha'az More, ki haseichel shelo eino mutva b'chomer, rak nivdal mimenu. He says, my ikar, my main thing is my seichel, my ruchnius, my intellect. I don't need to share everything with the world. I don't need to talk all the time. I can keep it in because I'm living in an inner world of chachma, of seichel, of ruchnius. I live on a different plane. When Aaron HaKohen is silent, Vayidom Aaron, he's not saying anything, but he's expressing that he lives with Seichel. And a person who lives with Seichel connects to the Ribbono Shel Olam. We spoke about a few weeks ago how if a person does an Avera, the only possible way a person could do an Avera is if Nichnas Bo Ruach Shtus, the Gemara in Sota. The only way to do an Avera is if you're not thinking with Seichel. If you were thinking with Seichel, if you were living in a realm of Sichlius, of intellect, of Ruchnius, you would be connected to Hashem all the time. You wouldn't be able to do Averos. Seichel connects us to Hashem. Says Aaron, Vayidom Aaron, I'm quiet, which means I'm Seichel, I'm connecting with Hashem. And Hashem responds, Mida, Kineged, Mida, in kind. You deserve speech from me. Because you've been nisyachid with me, you've closed yourself off in a room with me, says HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You're living a world of Seichel, I'll give you Seichel right back. I'll give you the Dibur from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Okay, we should all work on these three things in the Avodah, to interact with the miniatures of Olam Haba in this world, to live in a world where we take the message of HaKadosh Baruch Hu that He gives us, and to live in a world of Seichel, that we should not talk so much. We should accept HaKadosh Baruch Hu and be Misyachah with Him in B'siyat Deshmaya. He should give us great schar in kind. Everyone have a wonderful Shabbos.